We're holding on Ayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Continuing on the topic of the Ben Sura Mora, the Mishnah says, Me'emesai Chayev, at what point does he become Chayev? What exactly does he do that makes him Chayev to sort the whole process? Now, he doesn't right away become Chayev Misa from this, as we're going to learn, as we go through the Perek. First, he gets Malkus, and only if he continues to do this kind of thing again, only then is he Chayev Misa. So Mishiyechol Tartimor Boser, when he eats a Tartimor of meat, a Tartimor is a weight. We're going to learn in the Gemara how much it is. V'yishta chatzi lug yain ha'italki, and he drinks a half a lug of Italian wine. Obviously, we mean kosher wine because, as the Mishnah is going to go on to point out, it has to be that other than the fact that he's eating it as a ben sura mora, other than that, there's no iser involved in this eating and drinking. We learned previously on Daf Samach Gimel that the fact that it's also for Ben Sura Murda to do this kind of thing is one of the things we learned from the Pasuk, Loi Seichel Al Adam, don't eat on the blood, meaning don't eat in a way that can lead, or that a person shouldn't eat in a way that could lead him to a bloody death like that of the Ben Sura Murda. But as we're going to learn in the Mishnah, there's no other issur involved, so it has to be that the Yain HaItalki we're talking about is kosher wine. So it actually makes a point. In other words, Italian wine is good quality, so therefore he's likely to get addicted to that. Later on, we're going to learn that the reason why there have to be these particular things that he does is these are likely to be things that he's going to continue doing, and eventually he's going to end up doing worse and worse things, which is why the Torah says let's proactively get him malchus and execution if necessary, rather than that he becomes that. As opposed to, in other words, other kinds of wine, he wouldn't be chayev if it was only half a lug, because they're not as good quality, whether it actually means to say it would work with other wines, but it would require more than half a lug, or whether it actually means that, that it wouldn't work at all unless it was Italian wine. There are different understandings about that. Yad Rama anyway has a different explanation that the word haitauki goes on the chatzi lug. So in other words, a half of an Italian lug. So not necessarily the wine has to be Italian, but the lug has to be. We're talking about half an Italian lug. Anyway, so once he does that, as we're going to say later on, he steals money from his father, and he eats it, et cetera, those are the minimum amounts he has to have eaten in order to be chayev. Rabbi Yossi, a mona bus of a lug yayin. Rabbi Yossi says that the amounts are a mona of meat and a lug of wine. By the way, you know, we have a lot of times in the Gemara, we have measurements like a calf, a saw, etc. Strictly speaking, those are units of volume, not of weight. Here we're talking about weight of meat, so therefore it's using money, and you have other expressions that the Gemara sometimes uses instead. And you have other measurements like that, like money and pras, and here we're saying tartimar and so forth, which are used as units of weight rather than litra is another one that are used as units of weight rather than as volume. Mishnah continues. Ochal b'chavuras mitzvah. What happens if he does eat this meat and wine and everything else? Also, he stole the money from his father, etc., etc., but he ate it in a group for sudas mitzvah. For example, ochal b'ibra chodesh, he ate the meal that they do in honor of an ibra chodesh, which we're going to talk about on Omud Beis. They would make a special meal to publicize the fact that Rosh Chodesh was 2 days, was the 30th and the 31st, instead of one. We'll talk about that on Omud Beis. So the point is, now that kind of thing is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. Nevertheless, because it's a mitzvah, then therefore that prevents him from being a ben sura mora. Similarly, if it was things d'oraisa, ochel ma'isa sheni b'Yerushalayim, if he ate ma'isa sheni in Yerushalayim, he stole ma'isa sheni money from his father, and he ate it in Yerushalayim. A couple of them before some point out that on the face of it, wait a minute, then it's not stealing his father's money at all, because in that case, the money of ma'isa sheni doesn't actually belong to his father, strictly speaking. It's called Mom and Gavoya. So a couple of them, of course, should deal with the ins and outs of that, how it's possible for that to be considered that he's actually stealing from his father. The Aruch HaNer says it doesn't really matter. The fact that technically it doesn't belong to his father, the reason why the Torah insists that he steals Zavka from his father in order to be a Ben Surimur is because that money is easily available to him, and therefore he's likely to do it again and again. Well, the same thing you could say with my Sheni money. Anyway, so he did that. So again, now he accomplished a mitzvah. So it's a mitzvah ba ba'avera, but nevertheless, there is a mitzvah in eating ma'is hasheni in Yerushalayim. Or on the other hand, if he ate something which is osur, ochal tevel, if he ate the food as tevel, that is to say, the wine was tevel. Meat obviously tevel is not subject to that. Or ma'aser rishon shel nitlo trumasay, or ma'aser sheni where the trumas ma'aser hadn't been taken out, or ma'aser sheni vehektish shel niftu, or ma'aser sheni or hektish that had not been redeemed. All of this is in parenthesis because in fact, the Tosfos Yom Tov points out that it shouldn't really be in the Mishnah, and there are a number of different printings, and there are a number of different printings that don't have it. The Yad Ramah points out that none of this could really apply to meat. In any case, but those are all examples of things that he eats, and there's an issur involved. So then also, he's not a ben sura murder, as we're going to explain, that again, it has to be the eating that he's doing. There's no other issue in it other than the issue of ben sura murder, and there's no other mitzvah in it, and there's no mitzvah in it at all. Only then would it be the kind of eating that makes him the ben sura murder. So all these examples, either it was a mitzvah, even a mitzvah de rabbanon, or it was an aveira, even an aveira de rabbanon. Ochal davashu mitzvah v'davashu aveira, or if he ate anything else that's a mitzvah or that's an aveira, which we're going to see in the Gemara what else that includes. Also, if he ate any other food, again, even he stole the money from his father and all the other criteria, but he didn't eat meat, he ate something else. He drank some other drink, but didn't drink wine. All those cases, ain't an ass a ben sura remota, then he's not able to become a ben sura remota as a result of acting that way. Where do we know particularly about the wine? So the rest of the details we're going to work out in the Gemara, how we know them. But how do we know in particular that in order to be a ben sura murder, he has to have eaten meat and drinking and drunk wine? Kenemar, the pasuk describes him, the parents bring him to Beis Din, and they say he's zolo v'soyve, which means a glutton and a drunkard. So what do those terms mean? You don't have a solid proof that zerlo means eating meat and sove means drinking wine, but yet but there is a certain zecher, there is a certain remembrance of the matter that zerlo is used specifically of eating meat and sove of drinking wine. Shanema, you have a pasuk in Mishlei where Shlomo warns, al tehi v'sove yayin, don't be among those who drink and get drunk from wine. Those who are gluttonous with meat. So we see that the word zolol and sove can refer specifically to those who eat meat and those who drink wine. So therefore, so we use that. So it's not a zeder shava, by the way. We can't make a zeder shava from chumash to ksuvim. It's more what the Gemara sometimes calls gili milsav alma. It's just defining for us what is the definition of zolol, what is the definition of sove. We have a hint for that in this pasuk, and that's how the halacha is established. Well, the first thing was we said that he eats, according to the Tanakhama, he eats a tartimor of meat. Omer Reb Zera, tartimozu, eni adam mahu. So Reb Zera says, how would we know what a tartimor is? We don't have that term mentioned anywhere else, or at least not in very many other places in Gemara or in Midrashim. Ella, but we can figure it out as follows. Mitoch shekofer Rabbi Yosi b'yayin, given that Rabbi Yosi is doubling the amount of wine, the Tanakhama said half a lug of yayin haitalki, again, whether haitalki refers to the lug or to the wine, according to the different mefarshim. So he said, and Rabbi Yosi had said a lug, so therefore, nimsa kofel after basar, then we can assume that he's also doubling the amount of meat. So therefore, that would tell us that a tartimer is a half a mana. So how much is a mona? So a mona is most famously when it comes to the Torah, mona b'chol yom, pras b'shachos, or pras b'in ha'abayim. A mona is A mona is 25. A mona is 25 sloyim. A sella weighs around an ounce, give or take. So a mona would be approximately 25 ounces approximately. So a tartima then would be half of that, something like 10 to 12 ounces. So a nice sized steak, basically. The Gemara continues. Omer of Chanan by Molda Omer of Huna. Ene chayiv ad sheyikach bosa bezeil v'yoychel b'yayin bezeil v'yishte. He's also only chayiv only if he buys the meat and the wine cheaply and eats them and drinks them. Because we're learning from the word zeilil that the word zeilil we just said in the Mishnah means a glutton, but it's also meloshin zeil, which means cheap. So therefore, it has to be that he's buying the meat and wine cheap. Rashi explains the reason is because the logic behind it is because if he buys them expensively, he's not going to find very much money from his father to be able to do that. Again, the whole point is we're looking at a situation where if he's not stopped, he's going to do this again and again. And as we're going to learn later on Daf Ayin Beis, eventually he's going to use up all his father's money and go and turn to thievery and become a thief and a bandit. And therefore the Torah wants to head that off. But if to begin with, he can only find meat and wine to buy expensively, then he's not likely to find that much money in the first place to be able to do that. And therefore he's never really going to reach that stage of getting so addicted to it that he's going to end up becoming a bandit in order to continue satisfying his tastes. So it has to be that he's able to buy it. So it means that he's able to buy it cheaply. So actually the Yad Ramah points out, we don't mean, in other words, just that one day there was a sale in the supermarket and he was able to buy them cheaply, because then again, that's not going to be something that's going to go on all the time. What we mean is, in other words, that he was able to find places where the meat and wine is cheaper than in other places, and that on average you have a certain average price in the market, and he's able to go find somebody who regularly is selling them cheaper. So that would be what Rav Chanan bar Molda said. That would be what makes him a Ben Soder. That's one of the criteria for him to become a Ben Soder Moira. Ve'omer Rav Chanan bar Molda omer Rav Huna. Then Rav Chanan bar Molda also says in the name of Rav Huna another din about the meat and the wine. Ein chayev ad sheyichol bosa chay v'yishte yayin chay. He's chayev only if he eats the meat raw and drinks the wine raw, meaning in those times they used to dilute their wine with water, but he doesn't do that. So in other words, the idea is like a ganav. What is a ganav? Does that kind of thing. He's in a hurry, so therefore he doesn't cook it completely. As the Gemara is going to explain now, it doesn't mean actually raw, and it doesn't mean actually undiluted. It just means not fully cooked and not fully diluted. So in other words, he's doing it in a hurry, like the way ganavim do. So the Gemara says something, but the Gemara first thinks that chai means literally raw and literally undiluted. So the Gemara says, "Ani, is that so?" Don't Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say, that if he eats the meat completely raw and he drinks the wine completely raw, undiluted, then he doesn't become Ben Soder Ramoda. Now, I mean, it's not, you know, the Gemara could easily answer Gabra, Gabra Karomis, so you're trying to bring a contradiction between one Amoda and another. Rav Chanan bar Molda is entitled to his opinion, and Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are entitled to theirs, but the Gemara doesn't want to assume that there's machloikus unless we have to. So the answer is Amar Ravina, Yayin Chai means mozig v'loy mozig. When he says raw wine, when Rav Chanan bar Molda had said raw wine, he doesn't mean completely raw, completely undiluted. It means diluted less than people usually would. He didn't put as much wine as most people do. Throughout Shas, we usually find the usual proportion was two parts of wine to one part, two parts of water, rather, to one of wine. We find in some places that Rava would dilute it further. He would do three parts water to one part wine. So here he did less than that. Say, for example, the Yad Ramah says he does, let's say, half wine, half water. So he did that, but it's not fully diluted, but it's still at least partially diluted. So that satisfies both criteria, that it's diluted, but not as much as it should. And the same thing, the same way when it comes to the meat, it means that it's cooked, but not completely cooked. So like partially roasted meat that ganavim eat. Kiva means that it's on the coals. Rashi brings from some other Gemaras where the word kiva means coals. So in other words, where like he roasted it a little bit on the coals, But not fully. So it's, in a way, it's similar to, you know, we have in Hilchos Shabbos, we have the concept of Michael Ben Derusoy, when you have food that's one half or one third cooked. And there was a notorious bandit in those days, and then Ben Derusoy, who would roast his or cook his meat only to that extent, and then eat it because, again, he was in a hurry. So here we're saying the Ben Sarah murder does a similar kind of thing. Tosfos incidentally points out that in this comes up, this word chai in this connection, meaning undiluted wine, comes up in connection with the halachas of kosher bracha as well, where the Gemara says there that it's supposed to be chai. So now we see over here that chai can mean that it is diluted but not fully. So the vote would be in those times when they had those strong syrupy wines, then they would dilute it with water, and without that it wasn't valid for a kosher bracha. So the Gemara explains over there that you would start with it diluted, so you start with a chai, which now Tosfos was explaining means a little bit diluted, and then when you would reach before you'd finish the second bracha of benching, ala oretz v'ala mozen, you would add more water in it to bring it to the proper proportion. With the idea being, in other words, that this shows the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, that the wine of it is such a good quality that you have to dilute it with water in order for it to be drinkable. So the Gemara continues further criteria about the Ben Sura murder. Rabba Rabbi Yosef da Ami Tavayu. Here's another din that Rabba and Rabbi Yosef both say regarding the meat and the wine for the Ben Sura murder. Ocho bosom aliyach v'shase yain migitoi. If the Ben Sura murder eats salted meat, so it's been salted and sitting for a while in the salt, or he drinks wine that's from the wine press, meaning that it hasn't been 40 days since it was pressed. So those kinds of things, again, they're not so important, and he's not going to get addicted to those. So a nasa ben soda remoter. So again, he doesn't become a ben soda remoter from eating and drinking that kind of thing. What we mean, how long it's considered to be Megitta, we're going to define now. So the Gemara brings, Tnanho, now, so what does it mean? What's the definition of Bosom Aliyah? How long does it have to have been sitting in the salt? How long does it, how soon since the pressing? Is it Yayin Megitta? That the Gemara is going to explain on the basis of a Mishnah from elsewhere. Tnanho, some we learn in a Mishnah in Masechta Tainis, Erev Tisha B'Av, on Erev Tisha B'Av, when it comes to the Suda Mafsekas, the last meal that you eat before the fast, Lo Yoichel Adam Shnei Tavshilin, you're not allowed to eat two cooked dishes, V'Lo Yoichel Bosa V'Lo Yishta Yayin, he's not allowed to eat meat and he's not allowed to drink wine. Now, we don't eat meat and drink wine from the beginning of the 9 days anyhow, but technically, strictly speaking, the halacha is only that you can't eat them by the sodam of sekas. Eventually, they're development hogim to restrict it during the week of Tisha B'Av according to Sfaradim, or during the whole time from Ashkodesh until after Tisha B'Av according to Ashkenazim. But strictly speaking, it's only by the Sodom of Sekas. So the Tana now, however, we learn in the Braisa, Avol Oichel Hu Bosom Aliyah V'Shoyse Yain Megitoi. He would be allowed to eat salted meat, and he would be allowed to drink fresh wine, because those kinds of things are not so chotur. So Bosom Aliyah Ad Kama, until what point, how long is it in the salt, and then it's called Bosom Aliyah, and then you would be allowed to technically eat it by the Sodom of Sekas, and the Ben Sura Murder doesn't become a Ben Sura Murder for that. So the answer is Omer Abchanan Abakana calls Manshuk a Shlomim, as long as it's like a Shlomim. Now we know a Shlomim, you shecht it one day, you can eat it until Shtia the next day. So even if it was salted, even if it's been sitting in the salt up until that point, it's still called, it's not called maliach, therefore it's still masameach as alev. Rashi points out the purpose of when you eat a shlomim, you're supposed to be happy. The pasuk says ve'achalta shlomim v'samachta shom. So we see that the whole time during which you can eat shlomim is considered a time of simcha, and therefore such meat would be masameach a person, which is why he can't eat it by the sodam of sekas. So in other words, if the animal was shechted, say on Tuesday, then and he took some of the meat and salted it, then it wouldn't be considered salted meat. It would still be considered fresh meat until Wednesday Shtia. And then at that point, so now, in other words, if Wednesday is Erev Tisha B'Av, he wouldn't be able to eat it then by the Sodom of Sekas before Shtia. But if it had been shechted any previous day, then he would.
Yain Megitoi Ad Kama. What's the definition of Yain Megitoi, of wine that's new from the wine press for this purpose? So Kol's Manshu Tosis, as long as it is bubbling. So Rashi translates it Noshech Begorin. Now Rashi explains that it's still fermenting, therefore like it bites in your throat. It feels acid kind of in your throat because it's bubbling. In other words, we're not just talking about grape juice, for example. So in other words, we're talking about, to begin with, when you press wine, it starts that it's fermenting and it's turning to alcohol. It's bubbling. You have carbon dioxide is being released from it. So in ancient times, they didn't have a way really of preserving those bubbles, so all their wines were flat. Nowadays you have sparkling wines where in fact the carbon dioxide is in them. But you know, when you taste those wines, you feel like a tingling in your throat from the bubbles. So that's what Rashi is describing over here as noshech begorin. So as long as it's doing that, as long as it's still bubbling and fermenting, then we're talking about that it's called yayin megitoi. So v'kama tzisase shlosh yamim. How long is it? I skipped the line. So kol zman shutosis. V'ha tanya, and indeed we learn in a braisa, yayin tosis ein b'mishum giloi, by the same token, the wine, when it's fermenting like that, and it's bubbling as the sugar is being converted to alcohol, then ein b'mishum giloi, there's no issue of leaving it uncovered. We know throughout Shas, we're going to learn about it, in particular in Masech David Azara later this year, Be'ez Hashem, that when wine is left uncovered or various other liquids, there's a concern that a snake might drink from it and inject venom into it, and therefore the Chachamim asked you to drink from it because of the danger. But if the wine is still bubbling, if it's still fermenting, then there's no issue of gilui because the snake is going to be afraid to come anywhere near it because of the bubbling. The kamat tzisase, how long is it considered that it's bubbling like that shloshi yamin, for 3 days? Okay, so that's the definition of Bosa Moliach and Yain Megitoi as it relates to the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Now, what about Hochamai? What about over here when it comes to the Ben Sotah Remora? Do we use the same definitions or are there different definitions? So the question is, the answer is no. Hosam mishum simchahu. In the case of Tisha B'Av, the reason why you can eat it after that a day and a half, 2 days after it was shechted, is because the whole point is of not eating meat on Erev Tisha B'Av by the Sodom of Sethis, is because of simcha. So therefore, kol zman shuk shlomim. So as long as it's like a shlomim, where therefore you have simcha from eating it, then you can't eat it on Erev Tisha B'Av, but otherwise you could. Hocha mishum imshuchihu. On the other hand, over here, the point is that we're looking for something where the Ben Sotah Remora is going to end up doing this kind of thing again and again. So therefore, so even if it's a small amount of time, even if it's a lesser amount of time, then he won't be so addicted to it because it's not so flavorful anymore. So even one night that it was left in the salt would be enough that it's not considered the kind of meat that would make him chayev as a Ben Sotah Remora. So it would have to be that it was shechted and put in meat and then put in salt to kasher it, and then it didn't stay in the salt overnight. Only then would that kind of meat make him a Ben Sotah Remora, provided, like we said before, also that he partially cooks or roasts it and eats it that way. Similarly, and as far as the v'yayin, as far as the wine, by the Sodom of Sekus, we're saying once 3 days have passed, then it's not considered new wine anymore, and you're not allowed to drink it by the Sodom of Sekus. But over here, Ada Boim Yoim, here it's only a 40 days have passed from when it was pressed, because then already it's considered choshu, and it has an alcohol content. So, in other words, in short, the definitions of Bosam Aliyah and Yain Megitoi when it comes to the Ben Sotah Remora are different than they are when it comes to the halachas of Tisha B'Av. Now, having talked about wine, now the Gemara is going to go into some agadta about the bad effects of drinking wine. One thing is, we had in the Mishnah the quotation from the pasuk from the pasuk Al Tehi B'Soveh Yain B'Zol Le'Bosa Lamoi. So now the Gemara is going to continue with some other psukim, a few psukim later, that talk about the dangers of drinking wine. So the first thing there is, Omer of Chanan, lo nivra yayin ba'olam elo l'nachem aveilim. The whole purpose why wine was created in the world is only to be menachem aveilim, because like this, you give an ovo wine to drink, and it makes him feel better, it takes away some of his pain. The l'shalom socher l'rishoyim, and to pay, and l'shalom schar l'rishoyim, and to pay off the rishoyim that they enjoy wine in this world, and this way, and then they lose their place in olam haba. In other words, the point is, considering how dangerous wine is, why did the Eibishter even make the possibility of wine existing in the first place? So the reason is because it has these positive things that it's needed in the world for. But other than that, if it hadn't been for that, then Hashem would have to begin with not made that wine should exist in the first place. As the pasuk says, "Tnu sheichel la'oved," as the pasuk says, give strong drink to the one who's lost. The yayin, the morei nefesh, and wine to those who are bitter of spirit. So we see, in other words, that it goes to the oved, the rasha, who is going to be lost from this world. Earlier in this mesechta, we learned that before a person is executed by beis din, also they give him wine to drink. So there's that, and then the yayin lamorei nefesh would be the avelim, who are bitter in spirit, so wine is for them as well. Marshall points out that, you know, we're going to go on to say in the Gemara all kinds of bad things that happen as a result of drinking wine. We even have that we say that when a person sees what happens to a soita, which tends to happen from drinking, then he becomes a nazir. We have other examples like that. So really, the Eibishter shouldn't have created wine at all, except it was needed for these kinds of things. The Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, my dichtiv. What does it mean, the pasuk, that the pasuk, al tera yayin kis adam, don't look at wine when it is red? Now, from that pasuk, we actually learn the din from it when it comes to the halachas of Pesach, when it comes to the dalad krisis, that preferably we should have red wine for it, because that's a better quality. But Rabbi Yitzchak is darshining something else from it. Ki yis adam means when it turns red. But if it's talking about the wine is already red. What it means is, al tera yayin, don't look too much into wine, don't get too much involved in drinking wine. Shemadim pneim shor reshoyim ba'olam hazeh, it causes the faces of reshoyim to be red with pleasure in this world, umalvin pneim la'olam haba. But then the result is, it causes them to be white-faced, to be embarrassed in the next world. Meaning, then Yoyada points out, you have two major kinds of wine, white and red. So therefore, corresponding to that, you have the two colors of the faces of reshoyim, who indulge in it, where they have first they have red faces from pleasure, but then they wind up being pale faced because they realize how much they missed out in this world of Torah and mitzvahs as a result of drinking. Rava says another way of understanding the pasuk when it says al tera yayin ki yis adam means al tera yayin, don't look at wine. Because the end of it is blood, because a person can get killed because of it. For example, a ben soter murder, or for example, because he gets in fights with other people, etc. So therefore, another meaning of yis adam is achrisoy dam, the end of it is that there's blood involved. The Gemara continues, Rav Kahana Rami. Rav Kahana pointed out a seeming contradiction between the way that one of the words for wine, the usual word for wine is yayin, but you also have a word for it in Lashon Kodesh, tirosh. We often find in Pesukim, we have dogon tirosh for yitzhar, for example, grain, wine, and oil. So look at how the word is spelt versus how it's pronounced. Ksiv tirosh. Ksiv tirosh, rather. When we read it in the Torah, the word tirosh is usually spelt without the vav. So therefore, we can read it as though the resh had a comets underneath it, and therefore it's the word tirosh, which means you will be poor. The Korin and tirosh, but we read it tirosh with a cholam by the resh, which means meloshin rosh, meloshin something that's choshuv. So why do you have that distinction? So that's it. Rav Kahana says, Zocha, if he's Zocha and drinks wine and uses it in the proper way to open up his mind to Torah, or like we had an example earlier in our Masechta, where Rebbe says, give some wine to the sons of Rav Chiya, so they'll tell us deep, deep secrets of Torah, then fine, then excellent. Nasa Rosh, then he becomes a leader. Loi Zocha, Because then it says, it makes him happy and it opens up his heart. Loy zocha, but if he's not zocha and he uses it improperly, nasa rosh, then he becomes poor because he ends up spending all his money on wine. So that's the reason for that distinction. Rava pointed out a similar contradiction. Ksiv yisamach, the pasuk says about wine that it makes people happy, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, v'karinan yisamach. Now, so we have, in other words, Rashi explains that you can read it, you have a shin over there, and a shin, after all, can be a shin or a sin, so therefore, so we it's written yisamach, because when we have it written in Tillim, yud shin mem ches, we could read it yisamach, but we read it yisamach with a sin, so again, why does the Torah do that? That's the point of Rashi, that the drasha is that way. The Ramah booms a girsa that actually you have a kriyuk siv over here, you have the word yeshamach with a hey, and instead yeshamach. There is, in fact, on that posuk and tillim, Minchas Shai brings taka, they found a couple of kisveyad that actually had such a kriyuk siv. Or tillims don't have that, but apparently the Yad Ramah had such a girsa, and he held that that's what the Gemara means as well. So what is it? Now, even according to Rashi, though, the vote is that if we read it with a shin, then it's Meloshin Shoymin, then Meloshin Desolate. And if you learn like the Yad Ramah, that it's Yeshama, that's also Meloshin Desolate. So the point is, in other words, on the one hand, the word is written in a way that can make it sound like it means that wine makes a person desolate and devastated, and then on the other hand, you have Yeshamah, that it makes him happy. So Rava pointed out the same kind of thing as Rav Kahana did. Zocha, if he's zocha and uses wine properly, mesamcha, then it makes him happy. Loi zocha, and if he's not zocha and uses and drinks too much, meshamamehu, then it makes him desolate and takes away his chochma. V'hainu d'omer Rava, as we find that Rava himself said, chamra v'reichni pachin, wine and fragrances, open me up, meaning in other words, he used wine properly. He drank a moderate amount of wine, and that helped open up his mind better to Torah, and now he's able to learn and teach much better. The Alter Rebbe brings this as an example in Tanya, where we have a person enjoys Olam Hazeh, and that can be a problem, and now he needs Chibur Takever and so forth, but as opposed to if he's using it in order to enhance his Avodah, like Rava is doing over here, then it's a very good thing indeed. So the Gemara continues on this topic. Amram braided of Shimon Abba, Amram Chanina. My dichtiv, here you have more psukim in Mishlei in this connection about the troubles that come from drinking wine. These are actually the psukim right before. We said Altera Yayin Kiyas Adam, so these are two psukim right before it. The pasuk says, "Lemi oy, to whom is woe? Lemi avoy, to who is oyvei?" Oy and avoy are both expressions of mourning and sadness. Lemi medonim, to whom is there fight? Lemi siach, to whom is there talking? Lemi psoyim chinam, who is there that has, he gets injured and wounded for no good reason? Lemi chachlul seinayim, and who is it that has red eyes? That's the first pasuk. And the next, so in other words, the pasuk is saying, here you have, you want to know who are the kinds of people who are always having to shout, oy va'avoy, och and vei, and the people who are always involved in fights, and who are having tsar. Siach, actually explains, doesn't mean talking, it means tsar, like orid b'sifi. So who is it that's having tsar, and who is it that he gets into fights with people, and they end up injuring him? And who is it that has red eyes? So all these things, where do you find all of these negative things? If the next plus continues, Lama Achrim Alayayin, to those who stay up late drinking wine, La Boyim Lachka Mimsach, where they're coming to go and search around, where is the good mixed wine that I can drink? So in other words, in short, Shloimeh is saying that you want a person drinks and he's too much into his drinking and he's looking around, where's the good spiced wine available? Then the result is all of these negative things that we're saying. So what does all this mean? He also of Dini Omar, when Rav Dini came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained that actually the pasuk is both, you can switch around the cause and the effect in the pasuk. Man de dorish le mereisha le seifei midrash, you can darshan in the pasuk from the beginning to the end. In other words, as we just learned, the pasuk is saying, who is it that has all these troubles? And the answer is, in the second pasuk, those who drink a lot of wine. So it's possible. So then you can understand the pasuk very well that way. Misefer l'reisha midrash, you can also instead darshan it the other way around. The second pasuk is saying, in other words, who is it that deserves, who is it that's appropriate for him to be drinking wine and getting drunk? So the answer is that the answer will be in the first pasuk, the aveilim, they're the mi oy lemi avoy, the ones who are saying oy vey because their relative passed away, which, as we said before, that's one reason why Hashem created wine to make them feel better. And the Rishoyim, who are arguing with people and then end up getting into fights. So that's the Lamim Adonim, Lamim Siach, Lamim Psoim Chinam. And the Lamim Chachlilu Senayim would be, again, where he's having various kinds of tzaras, and therefore his eyes are red with tears, with crying. So in other words, in short, Rav Dimi is saying, one way of understanding the pasuk would be that it's saying, you want to know who ends up having all these kinds of bad results from drinking wine is people who, you want to know who has all these bad results, people who get that way from drinking wine and overindulging in it. Or you can understand the other way around, that Shlomo is saying, you know, there are people for whom it's appropriate to drink wine, namely the ones who are listed in the first pasuk, namely the Abelim or people who are otherwise sad and crying over troubles in their life, as well as for the Shoyim, where they end up drinking and overindulging in it. Marsha points out, in other words, that you think about it, there are three kinds of tzaras a person could have when he drinks wine. First of all, oi, for the headaches that he gets from it. Number two, avoy, because he's losing money, because he spends all his money on wine and ends up becoming poor because of it. And the siach is that he's wasting his time. So that's why we have these three expressions, oy, avoy, and siach, all of which refer to tzar. And then he says, as far as the psoim chinam, normally a person gets injured, he knows who injured him, and now he can take the person to Beis Din and get paid for it. Now, though, psoim chinam, he's drunk, he doesn't know who hit him, and he doesn't even know, maybe nobody hit him, maybe he just tripped over his own 2 feet. So therefore, it's chinam, so it's like for nothing, he doesn't even gain anything from it. And then he goes on to say that, so Rava. And now, Rashi explained that lachka mimsach means he's looking around, where is the good quality wine that's diluted. Marsha explains differently. Lachka mimsach also means that he goes to look for, he would rather have the wine that's diluted as little as possible, as opposed to, now we just said, Rava said that wine would open up his mind, and we find elsewhere in Shas that Rava would dilute his wine more than most people did. So therefore, for him, wine was a very good thing indeed, as opposed to this lachka mimsach person is looking for the wine that's least diluted, similar to the Ben Saramoda we said before, and therefore he ends up suffering more consequences from drinking it. The Gemara continues. Dorash Oivu Glila. Oivu Glila gave a drosha on this. Oivu literally means a person who passes by, Glila from Golil. So it could mean Rashi explains that Rashi doesn't say it, but that was the guy's name. But that was the Amoda's name, Oivu from the Golil. Or it could mean that maybe it's a descriptive title. He was passing through from the Golil. Anyway, he darshan. In connection with the first time when wine appears in the Torah, we have 13 vavs, as the Gemara is going to quote now. Vayochal Noach Isha Adama. Noach started becoming a man of the earth. He was planting. Vayitakorim, and he planted a vineyard. Vayesh Minayayin, he drank from the wine. Vayishkar, and he became drunk. Vayiskal Basaych Allah, and he was uncovered inside his tent. Vayar Chom Avichnan Eis Ervasaviv. Knan, the son of Chom, saw the nakedness of his father, Vayagid b'shnei echavachut, and he told it to his brothers outside. As Rashi says, he was telling it to them like out in the marketplace, in full view of everybody. He wasn't embarrassed. Vayikach shem vayefes asimos. Hashem and Yefes took a garment. Vayosimo Hashem shneim. They put it on their two shoulders. Vayyochu achiranis, and they went backwards. And they covered their father's nakedness, ufnehem v'gomer, and their faces were turned backwards, and then vayikatz yoyach miyenoi, Noach woke up from his wine, vayeda, and he knew, Esa also like b'noyach cotton, what his little son had done to him. So 13 times, you have 13 yuds you have over there. Now Tosfos points out, on the face of it, you have a 14th one for the word voyefes. The 13 that we have then are vayochel, vayitza, vayesht, vayishtar, vayiskal, that's 5 so far, vayar, vayed, vayaged is in the next pasuk, so now you're up to 7, vayikach, vayasimu, vayelchu, vayichasu is another 4, is 11, and then the next pasuk, vayikets and vayeda, so there's 11. Tosfos points out, you also have the word the vav in voyefes. But the reason is because, no, Yefes is a name, so we're not counting that. Marshall explains, in other words, the idea is, what we're doing is, the 13 verbs that we're counting all have to do with verbs, with action words. So the point is, in other words, when a person does actions as a result of drinking wine, there's going to be a lot of vi, there's going to be a lot of woe in that. That's why each one of these begins with vav yud, and each one of them is a word representing that somebody did something to represent, in other words, that all the actions that come as a result of drinking wine, of drinking wine improperly, then all of those come out and end up being negative things. So the Tertas Chaim actually makes an interesting point on this. Also, he says a deeper thing about it is like this: we have 13 midas harachmim, and it's the gematria of the word Ava, but a Rosha then takes that Ava of Hashem and that Achdus of Hashem, and the 13 midas of rachmim and turns them instead into din. So therefore, that's why we have 13 over here. And on top of that, he says also that we're saying that you have 13 vi's, 13 vav yuds, multiplied 13 times 16 is 208 is the gematria of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is midas ha-gvura. Yitzchak had the proper kind of gvura, and from his gvura comes a chesed and a rachmim to the Jewish people. But meanwhile, the Rosha perverts that, and he causes it to be a negative, harsh type of gvura. I'll start off like we have. The Gemara mentions in Megillah that Haman had 208 sons, so he was the Umas Zeh of Yitzchak. There's a number of places where the Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, expands on that point, that Haman is in a way the Umas Zeh of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu has Yitzchak, which is Gematria 208. Meanwhile, Haman, the Gemara says in Megillah, had 208 sons. So he's the opposite and Klippa of Avraham and Kedusha. So the point is, here also, this relates to these 13 vies, 13 times 16, which equals 208. Anyway, so that's why you have 13. Now, let's analyze those psukim a little bit. The pasuk says that so what does it mean when Noach woke up and he knew what his little son had done to him? So the little son means, in other words, means chum. We talked about a couple of days ago what was the order of birth of the three sons of Noach. We said one. We said Shem evidently was not the Shem evidently was the youngest. But here we're using cotton, Rashi mentions on the pasuk, means like the least important, the most bozuri, the most degraded of all of his children. So what did he do to him exactly? It doesn't just mean the fact that it says that he did something implies we're talking more than just that he saw and reported to his brothers. Rav and Shmuel argue what exactly Chum did to Noach. One says that he castrated Noach so he wouldn't be able to father any more children. The other one says that he committed Mishkav Zohar with him. Actually, the Aruch HaNer points out an interesting point. Then, in that case, if Noach knows that Chum did this, we learned previously that this is one of those things for which a Ben Noach is Chayav Nisa. So why didn't Noach have Chum executed? And the answer is, even though he knew, there were no Edim at all, at least for Ben Noach, who said you need one aid, so he himself told it, but so therefore he deserves to be cursed for it, but he can't actually execute him for it because there's no Edim. So the Gemara says, what's the reason behind the two opinions? Manda Omer Sersoi, the opinion that says that Chum castrated him, he says, because he messed up Noach and prevented him from having a fourth son. Like this, why is Noach in the tent over there with his wife? Because he wants to be able to father a fourth son besides for Shem, Chum, and Yefes. So Chum prevented that from happening by castrating him. Rashi mentions on the pasuk that Chum says to his brothers, listen, here you had Cain and Hevel, and one of them killed the other, and here you have our father wants to yet have a fourth son, and there's going to be even more friction between us about who's going to inherit with the world. I don't want that. So it makes sense, therefore, that Noach cursed Chum's fourth son. who are the sons of Chom? So in the next parak it says in Parashas Noach of Nechom, Cush u'Mitzrayim u'Fut u'Chnoan. So Knan was Chom's fourth son, so therefore Noach curses him that he should be Eved Avodim. Tosfos points out he didn't curse Chom directly because previously when they went out of the Teva, Hashem gave them a bracha. And therefore, now a klala can't be chal on them. So that's why he says oru knan rather than oru chal. So that explains that. Umanda amar rova, according to the opinion that he committed sodomy with him, that he committed mishkab zocher, is because he learned gomar vayar vayar. He learned from gzera shava from the word vayar. Siv hoch vayar chom aviknan es ervasav. He was saying that chom saw his father's nakedness. Shem, the son of Hamor, saw her and he raped her. So we see, therefore, that here also we're talking about something like that. Well, the Gemara asks, "B'shlem l'manda Omer Sersa." I understand according to the opinion that he castrated him. B'shlochi kiloi b'Ravi. Then they were saying that's why he cursed him regarding his fourth son, because again, Chom was now thereby prevented that Noach should ever have a fourth son. But if we say that Chom committed Mishkav Zohar with him, Maishna Ravi, why Dafka curse his fourth son, Nilaki Behedia? He should curse him right away, meaning in other words, curse his eldest son. Fine, like Tosfos says, you can't curse him himself, because he himself had a bracha, but why Dafka put the curse on his fourth son? So the Gemara says, Hava ho havoi. Both things were true. Even the opinion that says that he committed Mishkav Zachar with him also agrees that he castrated him. So therefore, he prevented him from having a fourth son. Therefore, he cursed his fourth son. Okay. Now let's go back to the beginning of the story. The passage says, Vayochel Noach Isha Adama. Noach began. The word Vayochel actually has a double meaning. It means he began. It also means Meloshim Cholin, that he desecrated himself. So Noach began, or he desecrated himself, Isha Adama, becoming a man of the earth. Vayita Korem, and he planted a vineyard. Why is he called Isha Adama? So Omer of Chista, Omer of Ukva, Va'amila Omer Ma'ukva, Omer of Zakai, Omer Le'akodesh Baruch Hu Noach. Means Hashem is by that telling Noach and criticizing him. Noach, Lo'hoi Lachalumen Me'odem Arishin. We're calling you Ish Ha'adama because you should have taken a lesson from your ancestor Odom. Who, as Marashah points out, Odom can be called Ish Ha'adama because he was actually created from the earth. So. So Hashem tells Noach, shouldn't you have taken a lesson from him? What caused him death was the chet etadas, which involved wine, and therefore, so Noach is being called Isha Adama to say, but you're not learning a lesson from him, and the very first thing you're doing is planting grapevines to make wine. There is, by the way, Rashi brings someplace, there's from a medrash that says there were three people in particular in the Torah. We find they were deeply involved in farming, and all of them turned out to suffer as a result of it. The first one is Cain, was Isha Adama, and you see where that led him, to kill Hevel and to become a wanderer. The second one is Noach, is called over here Isha Adama. And the third one is Uziyahu, Melech Yehuda, where the Pasuk says on him, Ki Oheb Adama Hoya, he loved farming, and the result was that he made a serious mistake and thought that he should be the one. He wasn't fakifing himself enough in Torah, so therefore he ended up thinking that he should be the one to bring Torah to Hashem in the Beis Mikdash, and the result was that he got Saras for it. So in other words, a person needs to farm, a person needs to grow crops, but he shouldn't be so deeply involved in it that he forgets about the more important things in life. Well, the Gemara points out, so this drasha that we just said, that Hashem is telling Noach, you should have learned from Adam's example, is Kamanda Omar Oyster Ilan Sha'ochal Mano Adam Rishon Gefen Hoya. This follows the opinion that the tree that Adam ate from was a grapevine, where there are in fact different opinions about that. But yeah, the tree that Adam ate from was a grapevine. Where does Rameo get this from? There's nothing else in the world that brings so much shouting and crying to the world other than wine. So as we said before, all the different bad consequences that come from drinking wine. So therefore, we can assume, says Rashi, that the ultimate thing that brought crying and disaster to the world, which is a death and everything like that, must have been a grapevine. Rashi elsewhere explains another point as well, and this Gemara is also in Yuma, Rashi explains over there that wine also brings people to nilf, like we said before, about the sota, that anybody who sees a sota in her degraded state should realize she was brought to that by drinking wine. So that also brings punishments and disasters to the world. So in that case also, then wine is an appropriate thing to have been chetei tadas. In fact, the Balak Turim, when it first mentions wine explicitly in the story of Noach that we were talking about before, he points out the word Hayayin, the wine, is the same gematria as Yilola, which means crying and screaming, the same word that the Gemara is using over here. That's one opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chita Hoya. Rabbi Yehuda says the Eitz HaDaas was wheat. And in that time, wheat grew on something like a tree. It mentions in the Gemara. In other places, that La'osid Lava it will as well. Why wheat? We see that a child doesn't even know how to say tati or mommy until he eats grain. So since it was Eitz HaDaas, so it gave them a certain degree of das that they didn't have before, then it must have been wheat. Reb Nechemya says it was a fig tree. Why figs? The same thing that they messed up with and ate from the Eitz HaDaas is the same thing that they were fixed up with. They realized after they ate from the Eitz HaDaas, they realized that they're naked. And then, as the pasuk says, that they sewed for themselves fig leaves and made for themselves coverings for their bodies. So we see that the very thing that they did wrongly with is what they were fixed up with by making themselves clothes with. Rashi points out that's often we find that Hashem does that. That Hashem does the same tool with which Hashem brings punishment. He also brings a refuah for it. One with it. Rashi brings one example. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed with fire, and we have a pasuk which we say in Nachem on Tisha B'Av that Hashem says, "I will be a wall of fire around Yerushalayim." So that's the point of Rashi. Tosfos points out that doesn't really seem to fit over here, though. We're not talking about a nest that Hashem did. We're talking about they themselves made for themselves their girdles and clothing. So rather, Tosfos brings from the Medrash that the mashal is a ben melech, a prince, one time was mezana with one of the maidservants, and the king throws him out of the palace. So he's going around to anybody, to all the maidservants, will anybody take me in, since right now I'm homeless, and the only one who will let him in is the one that he was mezana with. So the same way, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz HaDaas, the result is now when they need leaves to cover themselves, none of the other trees want to give them any of their leaves. What do you mean? You disobeyed Hashem. Why should we give you any of our leaves? Only the fig tree, since according to the Nehemiah, that was the very one they ate from, so therefore it allowed them to take leaves from it. So that's another meaning of the Dover Shekilkul Oboni Taknu, that they themselves, so it's not so much a midir of Hashem, it's rather that was the only tree that they could find that would allow them to take leaves from it. The Teres Chaim brings a different point as well, which is the Binyan Shlomo brings from Teres Chaim a different point as well, that we find that after the Chet Eitz HaDaas, the Gemara mentions in Eruvin, that for many years, for 130 years, Adam was doing tshuva and fasting and different things like that, and one of the things he was doing is he was taking girdles of fig branches and putting them on his skin, because fig branches are prickly, and that way it was uncomfortable, and that way it was part of his tshuva. So in that sense, really, Boni Taknu, he really was. He tried to fix up whatever he could of the Chet Eitz HaDaas with his tshuva involving Davka fig branches. And therefore, so Reb Nechemya learns that that was the actual Eitz HaDaas. In the Medrash, you have other opinions. The Medrash says it's no tree that can ever be identified. Hashem Davka didn't put the identity of it in the pasuk, because otherwise everybody's going to look at that tree and say, look at that, that's the tree that brought death into the world. I think there's another opinion, I think from the Zohar, that says there was an esrog. In any case, we see there was an opinion that it was grapes. And therefore, so that fits with what Hashem is telling Noach, you should have learned from that lesson. There is, by the way, an interesting idea that's brought in Sforim, it goes back to a Medrash, that if Adam and Chava had waited 3 hours till Shabbos began, they would have been able to eat eat from the Eitz HaDaas permissibly, because then they'd be eating at the Kavod Shabbos. There's some place, I think, where the Rebbe says, according to the opinion, that it was grapes, the vote would have been that then they would have been able to take the grapes and make grape juice out of it and make Kiddush for the first time in history on that, and that would have accomplished everything that Hashem needed to for the world, and we'd have the Jidab and that's it. Okay. Now the Gemara is going to go and darshan some more psukim from Mishlei that talk about wine. What happened was the backstory to it is like this. The Medrash tells a backstory. Shlomo, we know, married Bas Parai, right, which itself wasn't such a good thing. But in any case, when they got married, then, first of all, by the wedding, she brought in, the Medrash says she brought in many, she brought in 1,000 musical instruments, and they were playing songs, which were actually songs of Avodah Zarah. Shlomo didn't realize. Then the next morning, the Medrash says she put over his bed a canopy that looked like the night sky. So every time he woke up, he saw that around him. He thought it's still the middle of the night, and he went back to sleep. Now the problem was that the keys to the Beis Hamikdash were under his pillow, so they couldn't start the avodah without waking him up. So eventually, it's getting later and later, and eventually they went to Bathsheba, his mother, and told her what's going on, and she goes into Shlomo's room and wakes him up, and then the Medrash, and then as the Gemara is going to say over here, she gave him petch for what he had done. By the way, it's brought over there that they in that case they weren't able to bring the korban tamid until 4 hours into the day. Normally they would bring it, and then normally they'd start bringing it at alois hashachar, which is why we have the concept that the latest time when we have zman tefillah that we find on the calendar is 4 hours into the day, is because one time it happened like that they only brought the korban tamid 4 hours into the day. Anyway, the pasuk says the last chapter of Mishlei begins. Divrei Lemuel Melech, the words of Lemuel the king. On the face of it, on the surface, you would understand that Lemuel is the name of a king. But the Gemara is going to explain that it's actually a nickname for Shlomo. Masa, the burden, the statement, Asher Yisratu Imoy, that his mother gave him Musar. So this is the next few psukim over there. Are the Musar that she gave him. Shlomo is being called Lemuel, Meloshim Lemoy Kael, to Hashem, because his Maisim and his Chochma are all directed towards Hashem, but here he slipped up and he allowed Bas Parai to get him into the situation. So now, the Masa, Shisratu Imoy, this is the burden, the statement that his mother gave him Musar, is the following few psukim over there. By the way, after these psukim, the Gemara is going to go through and douse in these psukim over there. After that, you have the section of Eishes Chayil, is the very end of Mishlei, and one explanation among Mephoshim is that Shlomo not only appreciates that, appreciates very much what his mother did for him and recorded it in Sefer Mishlei, and he goes on to say she's a great example of an Eishes Chayil. Anyway. So Amud of Yechonim, Meshum of Shimon Yechoy, Melamed Shekfa Atu Imay Ala Amud. This teaches us that his mother actually bound him to a post to give him Malchus. We're going to learn later on about them once we get back to the Ben Sura murder. That the Gemara is going to explain on the next daf that when it says by the Ben Sura murder, the Yisru Oisoi means he gets Malchus. So in the same way over here, then when it says Yisratu Imoy means that actually his mother gave him Malchus. So she tied him to a pillar to give him Malchus. Remember, he's already the king at this point, but still she's his mother. But Amra Loi, and she says to him the following words from the pasuk. Mabri, what my son? Umab, the Gemara is going to douche in these expressions phrase by phrase in a minute. But first, let's quote the pasuk. Mabri, what my son? Umababitni, and what the son of my womb? Umeh ba nedorai, and what son of my nedorim? So, what does she mean by that? Marsha points out the word bar is a little unusual over here. The bar is the Aramaic word for a son. The Hebrew word would be ben. So therefore, the Gemara is going to Darshan that it means like this. She says to him, "Mabri means Hakol Yodim Shalvicho Yorishemayim." Everybody knows that your father David HaMelech was a Yorishemayim. Achshav, now that you're behaving this way, that you're allowing you're sleeping in, you're drinking because that was also he had drunk by the wedding, and that's why they couldn't wake him up. So now she's telling him that now you're acting this way, you're drinking, you're sleeping in, you're causing the avodah to be delayed. Achshav Yomru, now people are going to say, Imay Garmaloi, your mother caused it. In other words, the people are going to think that you're not really David's son. So Mabri, why would you cause that people are going to say that you're my son, but not also your father's son? So that's the Mabri. Masa Marsha points out, in this and the next few drushes, the Gemara is also taking it that the word bar is Meloshin Birur. Meloshin, you're supposed to be clear and pure in your seichel, and then and the same way as I was clear and pure in my midas. So what are you doing acting this way? Then she continues, Uma bar bitni, when she says, what son of my womb, what does that mean? Kol anashim shal beis avicha, all the other women of the palace, all of David's other wives, given to Miss Abris, once they became pregnant, Shuvain and Reyes, Pnei HaMelech, they wouldn't come back and see the king's face because they have their baby, they're carrying their baby already. What do they need to have relations with the king anymore? Vani dachakti v'nichnasti. I, when I was pregnant with you, Bathsheba says, I would push my way in to go and have relations with the king during the pregnancy as well, today Shiheli ben Mizuraz Umalubon, so that I should have a son who's strong and clean. The Gemara elsewhere mentions that during the last 6 months of the pregnancy, well, during the last 3 months of the pregnancy, Tashmish between the father and mother is good for the mother and good for the baby. Actually, the Gemara mentions over there that during the second trimester it's also good for the baby, just not so good for the mother. But in any case, she's saying that I made the effort to do that so that you would be as strong and as clean as possible, as Tashmish during those months has that effect. So that's Ma Bar Bitni. So here, I put in such effort while you were in my womb, and I wasn't doing it, so you should become drunk. And she continues, Umeh Bar Nedorai, when she says, what son of my Nedorim, she means, Kol Noshim Shabbos Avichah, you Nedoris, all the other women, all the other wives of David would make Nedorim. Yeheli Ben Hogan Mamalchus, if I will have a son who's suitable to be the king, then I'll do such and such, then I'll take on such and such a neder. Vanina Dauti Varmauti, whereas my Nedorim were Yeheli Ben Zorizim Mulan Matura, I should have a son who's strong and eager and filled with Torah, Vahogun the Nevius, and suitable to become a Navi. So in a Mebau Nedorah, I said, what is this? I put in so much effort with the Nedorim I made on your behalf, and how could you behave this way? Then she continues, and she tells him the following psukim, Allah malochim lamoyel. The pasuk continues, Allah malochim, not for kings, lamoyel. So on the first of it, lamoyel is another version of the name lamoyel that we said before. So again, it means therefore, so it's another name for Shlomo. You're supposed to be lamoy kale. You're supposed to be lamoy is a poetic word in Tanakh that means two. That means completely focused on. You're supposed to be focused on kale, on Hashem. So Allah Malachim, it's not appropriate for kings lamoyel to be acting this way. You who should be lamoy kale, Allah Malachim shesoy yoyin. She says it's not appropriate for kings to drink wine. Meaning, she's saying to him, Rabbi Yechonon continues, Allah Malachim, not to kings, Omer Eloi, she's telling him, Malachoy to Malachim, Sheshoysim Yayin Mishnakrim, what are you doing being together with and being right kings who drink and get drunk, for Omerim Lama Lanu Kale, and say, what do we need Hashem for? So before it was Lemuel, he was Lemuel. So therefore, so now the Gemara's understanding, it doesn't mean Lemuel, but as in focused on Hashem, but on the contrary, Lamoy Kale, they're saying, who needs Hashem? So don't be like them. She continues, Velo Roiznim, so don't be like the kings like that. And then she continues in the same pasuk, Olo Roiznim, and for Roiznim, which means rulers or ministers, a sheikher, not wine. What does she mean by that? Roiznim is Meloshin Roz, Meloshin secret. Misha called Roze Olam Gluim Loi, somebody like you that all of these secrets of the world are revealed to you. Yishta Yain Vishtaker, is it appropriate that you're drinking wine and getting drunk and you're delaying the Avodah? And then you're going to end up revealing those secrets inappropriately because a person's tongue is loosened by wine. Ikadamri, another version is that she tells him, Mishiko Roizne Ola Mashkimon Lepiskai, somebody like you, where all the rulers in the world are coming up, are getting up early to come to your door to learn from your chokhmah, Yishte Yain Vishtaker, is it appropriate that you're drinking wine and getting drunk? So that's what she means with that phrase, Velo Roiznim E Sheikhar. How do we know that Shlomo ended up agreeing with and admitting that his mother was correct? Because you have in Mishlei, now Rashi says that the following tosif that the Gemara is going to quote is from the same section of Mishlei. It's actually not. It's from the previous perek of Mishlei. So this would be one of those examples of Ein Mukdam Ucher. So Maharsha points out just in Ein Mukdam Ucher that here we were quoting before from Perek Lamed Aleph. That was the Bathsheba's words to him. Now in Perek Lamed, in the previous perek, you have Shlomo's response to that. He says, Kivara Noichi Me Ish, he says, I'm foolish compared to Ish, Vlevinas Odam Li, and I don't have the Bina of Odam. So what do you mean by Ish and Odam? Means Kivara Noichi Me Ish, when he's saying I'm more foolish than Ish, Zen Noyach, means Minoyach, means I'm more foolish than Noyach, Tikhtiva Yochon Noyach Isha Adama, whereas we said before Noyach began, planted a vineyard, And I was more foolish. So we see that the use of the word ish in that connection, and therefore so Shlomo is referring to him. V'lo vinas Adam li, and he's saying, I don't have the bina of Adam. That refers to the Adam Rishon, where we said that Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, which was wine, grapes from which he pressed wine, and therefore so Shlomo is saying, you know, I admit my mother was right, I shouldn't have done this, and I was in that regard even worse than Adam and Noach in their times. So the Gemara goes a little further. We said, oh, getting back to the Ben Sura Gemara, oh, b'chavuras mitzvah. We said that if he ate it in a company of a mitzvah, then he's not a Ben Sura Gemara. So the Gemara says, Amar Ababahu, ain't chayav ad sheyoichav b'chavuras shekula srikin. When is he chayav? Only if he eats it with a group of all empty people. Because then again, he's going to get used to this kind of thing. As opposed to if there are decent people among them, then he's not going to get so used to it, so then he can't be a Ben Sura Gemara. So even when it's not a chavuras shel mitzvah, just the fact that there were decent people among them is enough to prevent him from being a Ben Sura Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, not tonight, Ocha b'chavuras mitzvah ain't a nasa Ben Sura Gemara. What do you mean? The Mishnah had mentioned, when he eats in a company of a Suras mitzvah, then he's not a Ben Sura Gemara. Time of the mitzvah, so only because he's eating in a Suras mitzvah, whole lot mitzvah, implying that if there was no mitzvah involved, afagav the lab kolos stricken, even though they're not all empty people, then he still could be a Ben Sura Gemara. So what are you telling me that the criteria is? In other words, because otherwise the Mishnah should have told us the bigger chiddush, that if forget about Suras mitzvah, that it has to be a group of all stricken, of all empty people. So my answer is Hakamashim Alam. That's exactly what Rabbi Boho wants us to know. It's one or the other. The Afagav the Kula Srikin, even if it is a company of all empty-headed people, given them a mitzvah ka'ostik, because he's involved in a mitzvah, loy mimshich, then we're not so concerned that he's going to get used to it and continue following them all the time. And therefore, he can't be a Ben Sura Gemara. So in other words, it's one or the other. Either it was a Suras mitzvah, or if there are decent people over there, but only if it's neither one, not a Suras mitzvah, and all Srikin, only then is he Only then can he become a Ben Sura Gemara. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, and we'll talk about more of these criteria of the Ben Sura Gemara.